I went to Thurston's graduation the other day, and you know, it's the time of year. I mean, you could just see like the relief, the excitement on the faces of all the teachers. I mean, the students. These students, you know, they've made it. You know, it's one of those things. As a teacher, you know, I taught fifth grade for so long, and I always told the kids, like, I want to see you in 8 years, walk across that platform. You know, and now in middle school, you know, they never think it's going to happen. It's just so far away. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, boom, here we are. And, you know, so we welcome everyone here. This is our graduation Sunday service where we get to honor those that are graduating from high school and moving on to greener pastures in the fall. So we're very excited about that. And so we have two grads that we're going to actually bring up here today. A couple of our grads could not join us this evening. They had prior commitments, unfortunately. So, but we're going to bring up Miss Megan Miller. We'll have her come on up. And then Mr. Leon Dillon, come on up. We're going to put them through the ringer. We're just going to interview them a little bit and just get to know them. Because if you don't know who these two are, you know, this is going to be an opportunity just to kind of get a little snippet about them. And I really want to encourage you afterwards at the little reception across the hall to just engage them a little bit more and talk with them and get to know them better. And we'll just give you a few fun facts about our grads before we, you know, start talking to them. So I think Justin has our first fact here.
So grads are pretty involved in extracurricular activities. So they include drama. We have one who's a stage manager, really manages the whole thing, I've heard, from sound to video and everything. Why don't we get some help back there? marching band, jazz band, honors band, and band council. So a lot of music. I mean, we can get some help up here, too.
They all will be going to one of various Bible camps this summer, that being Upper Peninsula Bible Camp, Bear Lake Bible Camp, and I believe Living Waters is another camp that will be represented this summer by our grads. Our grads' favorite youth group activities include the picture rally, trips in the various trips that we have taken to volunteer at Bear Lake Bible Camp during the springtime.
And their favorite classes include surprise band, but AP psychology and forensic science. Looks like somebody wants to be on CSI or something like that.
So when they were asked what they would miss about their youth group, here's what they said. They would miss the people. They would miss the people caring about them, just kind of being there. The genuineness of people, friendships, fellowship, and they have like the sense of family that youth group has, and also, of course, the snacks.
In that same vein, they all said that the thing they'd miss most about high school is seeing the people that they are friends with every day at school.
Yeah. So we're going to ask them a couple questions just to get them to open up a little bit here and let us get to know them. Leanne, I'm going to start with you here. What was your favorite class in high school and why?
Well, my favorite class in high school is probably band, just because I got to go there every day and make music with some of my best friends and had a really good time.
I won't shame you too much, but, you know, yeah. I could use a sub.
You play percussion, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, correct.
Megan. Who is your favorite teacher?
I've had a lot of really great teachers all throughout my years at the South Redford Schools, but this past year my favorite teacher was my AP psychology teacher. Her name is Ms. Aguilar. I've always loved psychology and that field, and being with her, she's always been such a kind and patient teacher, and just learning under her, it's really just strengthened how much I want to go into psychology.
Megan, what was one thing that you are going to miss about high school?
I will miss being at the same school as my sisters because I've been able to be at the same schools, or I've been able to attend with Ashley, Caitlin, and then this past 2 years with Julia. So it's been really great to just be able to eat lunch with them and talk with them every day and be a part of band with them and just to share the same experiences in high school with them.
All right, another one for Leon here. It's going to be a shocker. Leon, who is your favorite teacher and why?
Well, my favorite band teacher was, or my favorite high school teacher was probably my band teacher, because he's always there, and I've had him for about 5 years, so it's sort of good to know somebody a little after that amount of time, and he always expected a lot of us, always held high expectations, and some days probably weren't the best, but we always had a good time. So.
Great, and another one for Megan then. Megan, can you tell us who the most influential person in your life is?
This is a hard question. I don't know if I can pick one person, but I would just have to say my whole family, because each of them has been very influential to me. They each serve a very different and special purpose in my life, and I'm very thankful for all of them because they've literally always been there for me and always been there to encourage me and help me through some difficult times and to celebrate good times with me. So.
Great. Well, before we...
I get one more.
Oh, sorry.
Leon, who is the most influential person in your life?
Well, the most influential person in my life is probably my mother. She's always been there for me, and she's always dealing with me and all the stuff that I do. And she's had to put up with us four kids forever, and she's probably the most patient person I've ever known. And I one day hope to be as patient and kind and caring as she is.
All right, well then, before we bring them back up for this, we have a grad dad who's going to come and give you a message. Brian, would you come on up here and share with us?
Actually, before I speak, I had a short little video clip that I would like for us to watch if we're set up.
Aviation history, and you go without knowing where you're going.
Got a mission where you get medals, but they send them to your relatives.
Top secret means you train for something never done before in aviation history, and you go without knowing where you're going. You do it on that basis or not at all?
I'll go, sir.
The mission I'm asking you to volunteer for is exceptionally dangerous. Take a look at the man beside you. It's a good bet that in the next 6 weeks, you or he dead. Everyone brave enough to accept this, step forward. You know what, Pearl?
I've always loved that scene in the movie Pearl Harbor. Colonel Doolittle asks his soldiers to think about the mission he's asking them to volunteer for. It's my favorite part of the movie. Colonel Doolittle says, "The mission I'm asking you to volunteer for is exceptionally dangerous. Take a look at the man beside you. It's a good bet that in the next 6 weeks, you or he will be dead. Everyone brave enough to accept this, step forward." And every one of those soldiers steps forward. I love that. That just sends chills down my spine. Well, Megan and Leon, you just graduated from high school, and you're starting an important phase in your life. Megan, you're about to start college at Capital University. Leon, you're going to go through an apprentice training program to become an electrician. So your education, your training will take up probably the next 4 or 5 years of your lives, right? These years are going to be really impressionable years. And so I want you to think about what your life is going to be like 5 years from now. Where are you going to be in 5 years? As your parents, you know, we're so interested and concerned about how you're going to turn out. You'll never know how much we think about you and pray for you, maybe until you become a parent someday. But our hope and deepest prayer for you is that your relationship with Christ will grow, that during these next 5 years, your faith in the Lord will deepen and grow stronger and stronger, that during these foundational years, you'll learn to depend on the Lord for every part of your life. And that during these next 5 years, you won't get drawn away from the Lord by the influence of this world. And so I want you to think about that. 5 years from now, will you still be walking with the Lord? Will your relationship with Christ be the most important thing in your life? Or will you walk away from the Lord? Will you become more like the world around us? Will you abandon your faith in Christ? Or will you continue to follow him as your Savior and Lord? And really, this is a question not just for our graduates. It's really a question for all of us, isn't it? Where will you be in 5 years? What will your life be like 5 years from now? Just like that scene in the movie. Take a look at the person beside you. It's a good bet that in the next 5 years, you or he or she will no longer be walking with the Lord. So ask yourself, where will I be in 5 years? What will my life be like? What will my relationship with Christ be like in 5 years? This morning, I want us to look at Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower, the farmer scattering seed. Mark chapter 4. Jesus tells this parable, and like so many of the things Jesus said, it left his disciples scratching their heads. And so Jesus took the time to explain this parable. And if you read with me in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 14, Jesus says this: "The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Now, based on this parable, there are some people here today who will hear God's word, but Satan will keep you from trusting in the Lord. Based on this parable, there are people here today who have a shallow faith in Christ, no depth, and during the next 5 years, they'll face trouble and difficulties that will cause them to fall away. 5 years from now, they'll no longer be walking with the Lord. Maybe won't even be involved in a church family anymore. And based on this parable, there are some people here today that during the next 5 years, they'll experience the worries of this life. They'll be deceived by money and wealth and worldly stuff. They'll become more and more influenced by the world, and their desire for other things will come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful in their lives, according to verse 19 here. Will that verse describe you? Where will you be in 5 years? Or will we be like that last group of people in this parable? Will we be like the seed sown on good soil? Will we hear God's word and accept it and let it have a home in our hearts? And 5 years from now, will we be walking with the Lord? Will we be growing in the Lord? Will our lives be fruitful, showing that our relationship with Christ is real and genuine and lasting? We're all going to face various difficulties and challenges and troubles, right? We're all going to go through the same struggles or various struggles as we live in this world. But will our faith in Christ take root and deepen and grow and produce fruit? Where will we be in 5 years? Studies have shown that somewhere between 60% and 80% of previously engaged youth, Christian youth, become disengaged with their faith during college. One study said approximately 70% of Christian teens entering college walk away from their faith. Another study I read said 86% of evangelical youth drop out of church after graduation, never to return. And most of these people, according to Lifeway research, 80% of young people who dropped out of church said they didn't plan to do so during high school. But when you're in your young adult years, you get busy trying to prepare for the rest of your life at college or beginning your working career, life gets busy. And some people drift away from the church and slowly drift away from the Lord. For many, the pull of this world, the influence of this world, the lure of money and wealth, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desire for other things, has a way of coming in and choking the word of God from our lives. And after 5 years, we're no longer walking with the Lord or even think about serving him. The Apostle Paul saw this firsthand. And I want us to take a look at a few of the younger men that the Apostle Paul mentored and worked with. That's why I've titled this message, Don't Be a Demas. And I want to introduce you to Demas. Demas was a young man, just like a lot of the other men that the Apostle Paul mentored. This young man, Demas, was probably your age. In fact, I believe if the Apostle Paul were here today, alive on earth, he would be involved in youth ministry. That was just his mode of operation. He liked to take younger guys along and disciple them and mentor them and help them. People like Timothy and Silas and Titus and Tychicus and Epaphras and Aristarchus and Justus and Mark and our friend Demas here. And Paul would mentor these guys. And so I want you to ask yourself, where are you going to be in 5 years? In AD 62, Paul wrote the letter to the Colossians. And he also wrote his little letter to Philemon. In his letter to the Colossians, Paul mentions some of these guys at the end of his letter in chapter 4. Paul wrote this letter while he was in chains. He was in prison in Rome. And his friend Tychicus was the one that he would send the letter with. And Tychicus was the one who delivered Paul's letter to the church in Colossae. And in Colossians chapter 4, and I'm going to start reading in verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, "My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me." Verse 12 of Colossians 4, he says, "Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings." Just notice all the people that Paul mentions in this passage in Colossians who send their greetings. And the last person Paul mentioned was Demas. Verse 14, Paul says, "Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings." Paul mentions here that Demas and Luke were both Gentiles like us. The guys mentioned earlier were his Jewish fellow workers. But in verse 14 here in Colossians 4, Luke and Demas, they're not Jews, they're Gentiles. And at the same time when Paul wrote Colossians, he wrote Philemon. Philemon lived in Colossae. And so Tychicus probably delivered both letters. He wrote Philemon when he wrote Colossians. And this is what he wrote Philemon in his short little letter, verses 23 and 24. He says this, "Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." And so when Paul wrote Colossians and Philemon, he was a prisoner in Rome. And he included Demas as one of his fellow workers. And that's about all we know about Demas. He was one of the Apostle Paul's fellow workers. He was a good friend to Paul. Paul viewed him as a fellow worker in the gospel. Demas and Luke, who was a doctor, were with Paul, and they were Paul's fellow workers in the ministry. Demas and Luke, one of the several guys that Paul mentions, were in full-time Christian ministry with Paul. And now fast forward 5 years to AD 67. 5 years later, Paul writes 2 Timothy, and that's the next time we hear about Demas. 2 Timothy. And look at how Paul says to Timothy. In fact, right now, when Paul writes 2 Timothy, he's an old man. He's in prison again. He's chained for being Christian. He's chained for his commitment to Christ, for preaching the gospel. And he's writing to his son, Timothy, his son in the faith. And Paul thinks, a couple verses before verse 10 or verse 9 in chapter 4, Paul thinks that he's about to die soon, that he's near the end of his life. And 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to start in verse 9, Paul writes this to Timothy. He says this, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus and Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments." This is Paul's last letter that he wrote before he was killed. And he writes to Timothy, "Timothy, try to get here as soon as you can." The reason why he says that is he's writing with a heavy heart, isn't he? His friend and his co-worker, Demas, because he loved this world, he said, he's deserted me. Only Luke stayed around and is still with me. But Demas, just 5 years earlier, was working with Paul. He was working with him in ministry. He was serving the Lord. Paul called Demas one of his fellow workers just 5 years before this. And now, because he loved this world, Paul says Demas deserted him. And the Apostle Paul sadly saw this happen to other people. In his previous letter to Timothy, in 1 Timothy, Paul warned him, hold on to your faith, because some people had shipwrecked their faith. And I can just imagine the Apostle Paul, as he sees guys that he's mentored go on and serve the Lord, and he's also seen guys that have fallen away. I can see the Apostle Paul, and I can just imagine him talking to his men that he's working with. And just like Colonel Doolittle, the Apostle Paul maybe said something like this to his men. The mission I'm asking you to volunteer for is exceptionally dangerous. Take a look at the man beside you. It's a good bet that in the next 5 years, 10 years, you or he will be dead. Or you or he will fall away and shipwreck your faith. Everyone brave enough to accept this, step forward. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul saying something like that to his men? I can. Paul warned Timothy in 1 Timothy, in chapter 6, in his previous letter to Timothy, he said that people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And then he says this, some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And then this is what he says to Timothy. He says, but you, man of God, flee from all of this. He's telling Timothy, look at some of the other guys that have shipwrecked their faith and have wandered from the faith, but you, man of God, flee from that. I wonder if that's what happened to Demas. He loved this world. Maybe he saw what other people had, and maybe he wanted the money and the stuff that he saw other people had. Maybe he wanted just to fit in with the world. It wasn't a really popular thing to be a Christian back then. It never is in this world, is it? Maybe Demas just wanted to fit in with the rest of the world. But now, 5 years after ministering with Paul as one of his co-workers, full-time ministry, Paul says Demas, because he loved this world, deserted him and went to Thessalonica. And that's why I asked you guys to think about your life. Think about where you're going to be in 5 years. In 5 years, I expect Megan will have finished her undergraduate degree at Capital University. In 5 years, I expect Leon will have probably completed his apprenticeship to become an electrician. I expect that I'll have electrical problems in my house that I live in. I hope to be able to call Leon for help. Where are you going to be in 5 years? That's my question. In youth group, we have a great tradition where we have the kids write a letter to themselves to be opened 4 years later. It's a letter to their future selves. I don't know if you guys remember doing this. But it's a good practice to get into. Where are you going to be in 5 years? Demas was a strong Christian. He was walking with the Lord. He was serving the Lord. He was one of Paul's fellow workers. He was in the ministry. But 5 years later, he deserted Paul in Rome and left to go to Thessalonica. Why? Because he loved this world. And that's the last time we hear about Demas in the Bible. That's the last verse on him. What a sad last verse for Demas. I wonder what happened to him. I wonder if he ever came back to his senses. And if you think back to that parable that Jesus told, I would put Demas in that third category of people. Jesus said in Mark 4:19, there are some people who get sidetracked by the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth. They become deceived by wanting more money, wealth, worldly stuff, and they become more and more influenced by the world around them. And their desire for other things comes in and chokes the word of God, making it unfruitful in their lives. And I'd love to ask Demas, what was it about this world that became more attractive to you than your relationship with the Lord. It reminds me of that Toby Mac song, I Don't Want to Gain the Whole World. I would sing it, but I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. So don't let that happen to you. That's why I entitled this, Don't Be a Demas. Make sure that your relationship with the Lord is the most valuable thing in your life, that you value that more than anything else in the world. Knowing Christ and following Christ and doing his will, it's the most important thing in life. Nothing else comes close. Now, this world is going to try to lure you in during the next 5 years and really the rest of your lives. The world's going to try to pull you away from the Lord. Maybe it'll be the material things of this world. Maybe it'll be money or just wanting more stuff. You're adults now, right? You're going to become more independent. But I really challenge you and urge you to never lose your dependence on the Lord and stay connected to other Christians that are going to help you stay dependent on the Lord. And that's why I think it's so important to be involved in a church family, that you are surrounded by people that love the Lord and help you also to love the Lord. Make a commitment now that 5 years from now, your faith in Christ is going to remain strong, that you'll be growing in your faith, that 10 years from now, 20 years from now, the rest of your life, that you'll cling to the Lord and never walk away like Demas did. I wonder what happened to Demas. It didn't have to be the last chapter in his life. One person that gives me hope regarding this is Mark. Mark was a young man who, if you remember in the book of Acts, he went along with Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. Mark was Barnabas' cousin. And for some reason, Mark deserted them and did not continue with them in the ministry. And then sometime later, Paul and Barnabas wanted to go back on a second missionary journey and revisit the people that they met in their first missionary journey. Barnabas wanted to bring Mark along. And Paul did not think that was wise. In Acts 15:38, Paul did not think it wise to take Mark because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. And so Paul and Barnabas disagreed over that. And they separated over that issue. Barnabas took Mark, and Paul and Silas went a separate way. But that wasn't the last chapter in Mark's life. Many years later, when Paul wrote Colossians and Philemon, did you notice Mark was one of his fellow workers? Colossians 4:10, he says, "My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas." And then Paul adds, "You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him." And he mentions Mark again in Philemon as one of his fellow workers. And then 5 years later, when he wrote 2 Timothy, he tells Timothy, "Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry." So Mark is a great example to us of someone who messed up, deserted Paul, quit the ministry, and then came to his senses and repented and was forgiven and was later reconciled back to Paul in his later years. And it's really interesting, God used Mark to write the Gospel of Mark that we just read earlier. So doing what Demas did, and you might at some point, all of us might at some point, I hope we don't, I hope you don't, but you might. Doing what Demas did doesn't have to be the end of your story. The Lord is forgiving. We're reminded of that this morning. The Lord is quick to forgive when you confess your sins to him. He's a redeemer. He restores us to himself. And so if you ever make the mistake of doing what Demas did, it doesn't have to be the end of your story. Come back to the Lord. Confess your sins, and he promises, in his word, he promises to forgive you and restore you. Even if you shipwreck your faith, like Paul mentioned in 1 Timothy, God can even rescue you from a shipwrecked faith. Jesus told the Ephesian Christians in Revelation chapter 2. He said, you have forsaken your first love. And then he told them, repent. And so we're all going to have troubles. You're going to have troubles in the next 5 years. You're going to have struggles. But I pray that through all of that, that you will follow the Lord, that you won't be a Demas. And I pray that you don't forsake your first love. But if you do, remember Mark. You know, repent. Come back to the Lord. Confess your sins to the Lord, and he'll forgive you and he'll restore you. But I do pray that you will follow him your whole life long.
Thank you.
and thinking back over the years, like I remember when these kids came into sixth grade, you know, I remember Joel and Leon were kind of like the team, you know, and just watching them grow and, you know, talking with Leon several, you know, over the years about skateboards and movies and, you know, his love for Upper Peninsula Bible Camp, and he just loved going there. We would have our little pizza prayer and praise. I remember Joel would always, it was like without fail, he would always request God and Man at Table. I said, he always loved that song. And never could tell us why, but he just loved it. And he told us, I remember when he would request, he actually would share some verses. And I remember one time he shared something out of Joel, and I think he just shared out of Joel because it was Joel. And it was about, like, God destroying something, and, like, and it was, like, kind of during, we're like, so, Joel, like, why did you share that? And he's like, I don't know, it just sounded cool, you know, and, you know, but I love the fact that he just put himself out there, you know, because not many people share those times, and he just kind of put himself out there, and that was great. And Megan, fifth grade, I taught you, that was great. It's always an honor to be able to do that and see you grow, talk to you about history. You loved history, and I loved talking to you about it. You know, just your music and your band and going through the various instruments that you did. And that was always great. And if you've ever never talked to Leah LeBen, telling you, she is one of the nicest girls to speak to. If you ever spoken to her, she sits back here usually. And just one of the kindest-hearted young ladies I've ever talked to. And you talk to her grandparents, and they are just very, very proud of her for her spiritual walk. Going to a school in particular that is very, very heavily, you know, Arabic and stuff, you know, and she just stands on her faith very strongly. So I do pray that as they go away, you guys are praying for them, and have these great memories, but start new memories with them by just engaging them in the chapel, talking to them, getting to know them a little bit better. It is so wonderful to get to know young people. Speaking about memories, we have a great slideshow just to kind of show you the last several years here with our youth group. So we'll start that.
Feels like I'm tired of
All right. So we're going to call the grads up again. So Megan and Leanne, if you please come on up. Leanne, I forgot how short your hair used to be. I know.
It's a hefty piece of wood pulp right here. So I've had the privilege to teach high school Sunday school for the last couple of years, and they've probably realized I'm a bit of a geek. Now, I didn't pick this, but it's pretty fitting. So, it's a Williamson's Guide to the Bible. Nice little study manual, and great to go study some as you continue your education.
So at this time, we are going to call up the parents of the grads. So if you wouldn't mind, come on up. You guys can maybe stand.
Yeah, come down and stand with your family.
Yes.
David, Judy.
Call up the grandparents as well. Yeah, Leah, please.
Oh, Leo, just... Yeah, here you go. Oh, you're welcome.
All right. So we're going to actually call up some elders as well to pray. You would like to come up here, Corey? I have a microphone. Dave, you go
this
for
microphone.
It, please.
I wasn't planning to be up here, let alone say anything, but when I do get up here, it's hard not to say something. And I just, the message Brian gave couldn't have been more on point. But I look at this young girl, and I look at this young man, and I see over here beautiful skin, and I see here some wonderful hair. And I look in the mirror, and I don't see either one of those where I'm looking. But, you know, you can look at a guy like me and say, what does he have to offer? He's old, bad skin, no hair, can't hear, trouble seeing, and all those things. But just one thing in regard to what your dad said. The Lord Jesus, when he was here on earth, walking along, and what did he do? He wanted disciples. He wanted followers. And he said, Matthew, come here, follow me. Such simple words, follow me. I looked at this book earlier. When I was your age, 18, I got one of those books. For 10 years, it sat on a shelf with the wrapper on it. I don't say that as a joke. Don't let that happen. Open that book. And you want to know about following the Lord, you got to read his book. That's the only way you're going to know, because you won't know where he went or what he wants you to do unless you ask him and read about him. And I know at young, it's tough sometimes, but you'll never regret it, never.
Okay. George, you want to start us off?
Sure. Our Father and our God, we do thank you for these graduates. We thank you for Leon and Leah and Megan and Joel. We thank you for their parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles, teachers, all those who have nurtured them, who have been a positive influence in their life. We thank you for calling them all to yourself in the fact that they have received the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. We ask, Lord, as they move into this new phase of life, that you would guide and protect them, that you would surround them with good friends who would encourage them in their Christian faith and walk. Father, we pray that they would be diligent in their pursuit and that they would be successful. And Lord, most of all, we pray that you would give them opportunity to share the love of the Lord Jesus Christ with others around them. We commend them to you now, asking this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we thank you again for the chance to be here this morning to worship you and to fellowship with our friends and family. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate this achievement for Megan and for Leon and for Leah and for Joel. We thank you for the time that's been put into their lives by parents and teachers and friends and family. And now, Lord, we pray that as they step forward into a whole new chapter of their life, that their relationship with you will not be kept in a wrapper, as Dave said, that it will be opened and will become a part of their everyday life, that each step, each challenge, each obstacle, each failure, that they will know that you are right there with them. We pray, Lord, that you will encourage them, and we pray for people to come into their paths to encourage them to follow you. So we thank you again for each of them. We thank you for your amazing redemption for all of us, and we pray that each of us will be encouraged to do the same, to take off the wrapper and open the book and follow you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, now as we close, we just want to lift thanks to you, Lord God. I just pray your hand of blessing upon Megan. I pray for your hand of blessing upon Joel. I pray your hand of blessing upon Leon, and I pray your hand of blessing upon Leah. Lord, we are so thankful and honored to be able to be in fellowship with these young people. I pray that as a church, as a family, that we would continue to walk alongside them, even if they are away from us, that we would just be in communication with them and let them know that they have a family here that will walk beside them in the Lord. And Lord, we just pray for your hand just to be around them and to protect them from the temptations of the culture and of the world, that they would just continue to seek you out and walk with you in the highs and in the lows. And we just pray now as we fellowship with one another across the hall, you just bless the refreshments to us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to just fellowship here and converse and get to know them. And we just, again, thank you for the opportunity that we can just worship you. All this is for your glory and your glory alone. Lord, we thank you for this time now in your name. Amen.